WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Neil Conan, sitting in for Terry Gross. After the great success of Alan Kurzweil's novel, A Case of Curiosities, readers have anticipated his second book for almost 10 years. The Grand Complication is the name of both Kurzweil's new novel and the wondrous watch that ticks away at the heart of the plot. The timepiece is also known as The Queen. It's a real watch, but it's been missing ever since it was stolen from a museum in 1983. It was commissioned exactly 200 years earlier by Marie Antoinette, who gave the greatest watchmaker in France an unlimited budget to create a masterpiece. In Kurzweil's book, an eccentric collector entices a naive librarian into a campaign to find the Queen, and much of the action in this literary thriller is set in the New York Public Library. I asked Alan Kurzweil to describe the Queen.
It was a spare, no-expense commission by the greatest of 18th-century watchmakers, Abraham Louis Breguet. The complication in the title also refers to the gizmos in the watch. And when a watch has more than five such gizmos, sidereal timekeeping, chronographs, which is a fancy word for a stopwatch, when five such things exist in a watch, it's given the title Grand. And this one truly is Grand, made by Breguet, who was the same fellow, by the way, who made watches both for Napoleon and Wellington. In fact, the Battle of Waterloo was timed on both sides by Breguet pocket watches.
Now, this novel isn't a sequel to your first book in any sense, except for the props. The Grand Complication itself is mentioned in the first book and The Case of Curiosities. Why did you decide to use them again?
Well, I finished the first book back in 1991. And in the course of an interview, I foolishly said that I might spend a year or two trying to figure out what that final 10th compartment in The Case of Curiosities contained. And the two or three years that I thought I might spend ballooned into nine. And then there was the search for the watch itself, which required me to travel to Jerusalem, to go to the museum where the theft took place, to the watchmaking valleys of the Jura outside of Geneva, where many of the techniques that are in the Grand Complication continue to be performed by watchmakers. And I even had to go to the Isle of Man off the coast of England to talk to the probably the greatest living watchmaker and heir to the talents and sensibilities of Abraham Louis Breguet.
Do you, like your librarian Alexander Short in The Grand Complication, do you have a compulsion to make lists and to put things in order?
I certainly don't have his compulsion, but I do have some of the props that he has. I'm blessed with a wife who made me any number of the things that appear in the novel.
Really?
I carry a girdle book around with me occasionally, which is a little notebook attached to my jacket with a piece of twine. And there are any number of other items in the novel that I've actually made or had made.
His wife in the novel also makes erotic pop-up books. Are you so lucky?
No, my wife is actually an anthropologist. Her expertise is Aboriginal Australian culture. But I did take classes in pop-up design, and though I didn't personally make a pop-up Kama Sutra, which appears in the novel, I did make a number of other not terribly competent stabs at the design of pop-up books.
You also went to the trouble of actually making some of the devices that appear in the book, on the first few pages of the book, that says role player patent pending. This is something that comes up in the book, and you actually made it?
Yeah, my wife rolled her eyes at that one, too. I was reading an account of Goethe's travels down to Italy, and it was a magnificent description of this note taker that he designed. It was a box with a scroll, and he would crank a handle and then take notes and crank a handle some more. So that precipitated a year-long search for patent materials on role players of one kind or another. And then I eventually decided just to design my own. So the guts of the machine I got down in Wichita, Kansas, at the a role player company that restores old player pianos. And I went up to Buffalo and talked to people who design paper for player pianos. A year later, the role player was made, and its motto, which is one that's dear to my heart, is volumes of higher learning operated by a crank.
You said you just decided that you ought to go ahead and do one of your own. You weren't satisfied with the ones that existed, or something about it that fascinated you?
Well, the idea of actually making the things that my characters make was highly attractive to me. I had spent the better part of 6 years on the first book, and I didn't make anything besides the book itself. So I decided to indulge that interest in tinkering, legacy of my father's profession as a mechanical engineer, on the second novel, which may account for why it took as long as it did.
You take us in this novel to parts of the main branch of the New York Public Library that visitors never get to see. You actually worked in the library for a while. What was that like?
That was paradise. Imagine if you were a Wordsworth scholar and someone said, here are the keys to Dove Cottage. Mm-hmm. Or if you were doing a biography of Elvis Presley and they said, hey, we've got a spare room at Graceland. You want to make use of it for a year? That's what happened to me. I'd been working on this book for 4 or 5 years, maybe even more, and I suddenly got the opportunity to have a fellowship that gave me carte blanche to the entire New York Public Library, from the top of the rotunda to the subterranean parts where the generators of the zip tubes are stored. And I took full advantage of that opportunity.
The zip tubes are the pneumatic tubes that send messages and call slips throughout the library?
That's right. There was a moment when they were going to pull those brass tubes out of the system when they renovated the library. Fortunately, some visionary figured out that the zip tubes were just as effective, in fact, better suited to the transmission of paper than fax machines or electronic apparatuses.
A lot of people have said that it is a little peculiar to set essentially an action novel, a thriller, with a librarian as the protagonist.
Oh, yeah, but I would disagree with them. I think that librarians get a bum rap. They're constantly represented as these staid do-gooders, hair in a bun, glasses on the nose. In fact, librarians have better eyesight than most professionals. And on political lines, they tend to be activists and renegades. They're nonconformists by nature. I mean, think about what they have to do all day. They're pulling up incredible works of fiction. They're handing Dostoevsky to high school students, if they're lucky. They're giving Merck manuals to people with serious illnesses. They're trying to help people crushed by taxes. They are on the front lines of people in extremis. And I think that reference librarians need a better representation than the ones you find in The Music Man.
As we were talking about earlier, though, one of the things they do is try to bring order out of chaos. That's the nature of their job.
That's one kind of librarian. But there's another kind of librarian who sees his calling or her calling as a middleman of knowledge. And it's those librarians that I'm particularly interested. They're the ones who break the rules. They're the ones who sneak into the conservation lab and take a book that requires rebinding and places it in the hands of an eager researcher because the book needs to be read.
And that sort of pursuit, I'm interested because the first time that Alexander Short, your character, sees the case of curiosities and notices 10 niches, the first thing he says is, Dewey set his system in 10 separate groups as well.
Well, decimal systems fascinate me for reasons I can't begin to explain. The first novel, in addition to having 10 compartments, was also structured around the design of a pocket watch, and particularly a pocket watch made by Breguet that had 10 hours to the day. It was a form of revolutionary timekeeping, an effort on the part of the Committee of Public Safety to reinvent time. So they eradicated royal time with its 12-hour dial and gave us a completely new sense of time. They had 100-hour days, each hour having 100 minutes, and each hour having 100 seconds. The vocabularies of watchmaking and bookmaking overlap time and time again.
In both of your books, The Case of Curiosities and The Grand Complication, there was a relationship between the main character, in this case Alexander Short, the librarian, and this collector under whose tutelage he then seeks the queen, the Marie Antoinette watch. In the other book, it's a young man who comes under the tutelage of the abbé. And I wonder if there's a parallel mentor in your life. Your father died when you were rather young.
My father died when I was 5, and I did have a couple of stepfathers between then and now. Was there a particular mentor in my life? Was there a particular abbé in my life?
Mm-hmm.
No. I think that that's one of the reasons I was drawn to fiction. Fiction allows you to fill those empty compartments in your life that might otherwise remain voids. Writing books is a license to inhabit those spaces you might otherwise not have a chance to live in. I grew up with people who read books with pencils in their hands, and that clearly had an effect on me.
Now, your cousin is Ray Kurzweil, an inventor and, well, I'm not exactly sure what to call him. I'm not sure futurist really covers it, but he's a guy who's been living in the 21st century for some time now and also an inventor. I guess it runs in the family.
Yeah, Ray is certainly the most prominent example of Kurzweil engineering. But as I said, my father was also an engineer, and he began by making machines. Then he started making machines that made machines, and by the end of his career, he was making machines that made machines that made machines.
Is that machine tools, or what kind of machines are we talking about?
Yeah, he went over, both he and my mother are Viennese-born emigres. He went back to Europe under the Marshall Plan and worked for the machine tool industry for many years, in fact, up to the time of his death. And I inherited one thing from him when he passed away, and that was a pocket watch. His father's.
Do you still have it?
That is the one thing I do feel very attached to, yes. And it's contained, actually, in a wooden case.
Alan Kurzweil's new novel is The Grand Complication. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Fresh Air.